Welcome to another edition of Catch the Flavor Radio here on Reader Region. I'm your host, Erica. Today, we're talking about sexual identity and how it can be challenging to youth in our modern age, coming not to only embrace this new aspect of being people in the world, but being okay with it when we understand that it may be distinct than what mainstream conversations talk about. One great organization that helps us embrace sexual diversity is SOY, or otherwise known as Supporting Our Youth. This organization looks to create a safe space for the LGBT community with different support groups and events for youth looking to explore, understand, and embrace their identity. And this organization is located at 333 Sherbourne Street on the second floor. So one great group created by SOY is SOY HEAT, which stands for Human Rights, Equity, Access, and Team. So SOY HEAT brings together emerging youth leaders who are interested in social justice. Today, we have in our studio today, Karina Ramos in studio to talk to us about SOY and SOY HEAT. As a placement student at SOY, Karina will give us insight into all the services SOY offers to youth for any of us looking to be a supporting person in the lives of youth with a sexually diverse identities, or if a youth identifies as being part of the LGBT family. So welcome, Karina.
Thank you. Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Excited to be here.
Good. So can you tell us about your experience as a student within SOY and why you decided to choose a placement with SOY?
So my experience at SOY has been life-changing in many ways. I actually came out for the second time as trans while doing my student placement there. Mm-hmm. And just kind of gives kind of how the vibe there is very much affirming and radical, and to give me that confidence to come out for a second time. Specifically with HEAT, I'm in school with the Assaulted Women and Children's Counselor Advocacy Program. It's a really long title. Mm-hmm. At George Brown College, and focusing on critical analysis, and the facilitation around anti-oppression is mm-hmm. what really enticed me to work specifically with SOY HEAT. Mm-hmm. And how education around social advocacy can look so different from counseling. And my program itself is kind of, it talks about counseling, but I personally find that it is more of an advocacy or advocating type of environment where we study anti-oppression and all of the complexities that it comes with.
Yeah. So what have you learned from the SOY HEAT experience, and how would you recommend it to other people?
So for myself, I haven't actually done like the 30-week training itself. Mm-hmm. I've been doing the content work and just working closely with facilitators. It's definitely an experience to be able to see representation in my community of racialized queer and trans folks, and or queer trans folks, and to see how folks are educating not only inside of the community but outside, mm-hmm. and how these conversations take place has been really fulfilling in really great ways.
Okay. So as a placement student, what have you learned in the position to really supplement and benefit your experience in your school program? And how do other students get a placement with SOY?
So I think for me, in the program, in the AWCCA program, because it should have an acronym, there's a lot of theorizing of what anti-oppression means and what intersectionality and inclusivity can look like. And it takes a whole new form when you're actually putting it into practice.
Yeah.
And that was something that I was really looking to gain at SOY. And I'm really happy that I did, for sure. Mm-hmm. As far as how students apply and when to apply, definitely the earlier the better. That's kind of how I got the interview, which happened late April to May. What I did was, actually, my professor works also at SOY, and okay. her name is Verlia Stevens. she told me to do my second year placement there. It's 500 hours, and so I applied around February or March, which is when they would be taking applications for September start. Mm-hmm. And I emailed SOY, S-O-Y, at sherborne.ontario.ca.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So your talks consider the needs of the LGBTQ2S community and the issues they face. So what major issues would you like to highlight today to share with our listening audience?
I think more specifically the way that homelessness and precarious housing isn't necessarily something that is talked about specifically pertaining to queer and trans youth. Transphobia, more specifically for trans femmes or Black trans women, mm-hmm. Isn't usually a part of the conversation, not only for queer communities, but outside of that. Mm-hmm. And how the shelter systems aren't necessarily providing all that much shelter. Well, kind of, in a way, you're not outside, but you're definitely still experiencing harm and violence.
And you're experiencing hardships that, you know, could be alleviated a little bit mm-hmm. with help.
Exactly. And so I think that, like, the conversation and the education around that is very much not often included. Mm-hmm. So if there's something that needs to be spoken about more or that folks can look into more is what precarious and homelessness looks like within trans and queer youth.
Okay. So what has it been like working with such a big group of young, passionate individuals who share your vision? And how does it affect your growth as a speaker to be in this environment?
It's really great to be around like-minded folks as far as what like intersectionality can look like. And once again, representation isn't often found in a lot of spaces where it's racialized queer folks and racialized trans folks. And
representation is important because even mm-hmm. we're a media arts center, and it's media is something that it's a messenger mm-hmm. toward the outside. And mm-hmm. even then you don't see it that much. And we have to take it upon ourselves. If we can deliver a message,
yeah.
then we have to put representation out there.
Exactly.
In that method as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely like a big thing that I got out of working with Swahit specifically, is seeing how my community is being represented mm-hmm. and being the ones that are standing at the front, and their voices are the ones that are being centered. And mm-hmm. it was such a privilege to take a part of that.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So where do you see Swahit 5 years from now, considering how you see it going along now? So 5 years into the future, like, where do you see Swahit going?
In 5 years? Okay, well, I think right now, actually, Swahit just got a partnership with TDSB. So I think that's going to provide more circulation, for one, and more exposure. Ideally, I would like Swahit to not be like a tokenizing franchise for queer and trans folks. To have more exposure and to be known wider. Mm-hmm. That's where I really want to see Swahit be in 5 years from now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you say sort of tokenizing, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think for me, I'm a straight person. I would like to think that, you know, there could even be allies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Allies
mm-hmm.
within the heterosexual community that could come mm-hmm. into SOY and be like, I really, you know, respect mm-hmm. what this community is doing, especially since they've been marginalized for so long.
For sure.
And now that they've been pushed, you know, to the front mm-hmm. and they're really speaking out and owning their truth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say tokenizing, what do you mean by that?
I think that when folks talk about queer and trans youth, mm-hmm. going to Swahit specifically for queer and trans youth and having that power dynamic be present in that we're looking for youth for this very specific to meet this very specific need from this age group.
Okay.
And because they're queer and trans, we're going to look to them for that education, but not necessarily share that validity or credibility piece.
Okay.
And so that's what I mean by tokenizing.
Okay.
In that Swahit will be known for facilitators being credible sources and not necessarily for being queer and trans and youth.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, totally.
Sorry.
Does.
I totally feel like that might have been a bit.
I totally understand.
But yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
So say a youth wants to join. So what does it take for them to be a part of Swahit?
So when training start again? I actually wrote it down. So you would contact Sapphire Woods.
Okay.
And the email is soyheat@sherborne.ontario.ca. And essentially, if you're 29 and under, identify as queer or trans, come on over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is this training? So what does this training entail? If you know anything about that.
So it's a 30-week anti-oppression training, essentially. I kind of did a little bit of content editing. So it's going into the actual theory of what anti-oppression is.
Mm.
What does it mean to be inclusive with language? What does it mean to have accessible learning spaces for folks that you're facilitating
right.
with? And everything from how our own lived experience as queer and or trans folks come into the space, but also how the anti-oppression frameworks are then being learned and taught. It's very big. It's 30 weeks long. I myself haven't gotten through all of the content, but yeah, no, I think from what I hear and from the facilitators that I've worked with, it's a big family, a big queer family, and we're all just learning and teaching together. So,
and that's the best thing.
Yeah.
All learn from each other.
Yeah.
And teach if you can.
Mm-hmm.
So Swahit also has a few videos on different topics, kids explaining certain terms. So what inspired your team to make this, and what was it like for the team to make this video series?
I remember when I talked to John Caffery about this, he was kind of like the creator of Swahit,
mm-hmm.
or the concept of it, kind of looking into how inaccessible language can be for folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you know, in like the social justice world, how difficult it can be to kind of, or how folks say it is difficult to, you know, get the pronouns right. And
yeah.
And what does this term mean? What does inclusivity mean? What do all of these terms mean?
Or even something scary like intersectionality.
Right?
You throw that to someone who hasn't been in that
right?
education.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, oh, what is that?
Yeah, and even as I'm speaking, I'm like, I know that I'm throwing words out there and I should probably tone it down or bring it back to, again, accessible language instead of saying intersectionality, maybe saying how do we include all voices, you know
exactly.
what I mean? So that was kind of the framework or the inspiration behind it, and
mm-hmm.
where they have one specific video where it's kids explain,
mm-hmm.
And it's like kids explaining to each other,
okay,
like what are your pronouns, what are my pronouns, and just kind of making it a normal everyday part of life type thing. Like
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be as complicated as I'm a trans person and these are my pronouns. It can just be like, hi, my name's Karina,
mm-hmm.
and my pronouns are they, them. What are yours? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that you're part of Swahit, but actually Soy has a lot of different drop-ins and groups. Can you briefly tell us about them so people know the different types of groups that they might want to be a part of?
Yeah, so it has a lot of stuff going on always. I actually have to write them down, just to make sure I don't forget anything. Right now, so Tuesday specifically is Alphabet Soup and Gender Journeys, and that is for queer and trans folks under the age of 18.
Okay.
And then there's Monday Night Drop-In, and that is on Monday nights. So it's an obvious, and it's for Underhouse and folks experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Black Queer Youth, BQY, Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And Express on Tuesday nights as well is Immigrant and Newcomer for queer and trans folks. And then Transfusion Crew, or TFC, with folks experiencing gender outside of the binary, or for folks that don't identify with their gender, with their sex assigned at birth. Sorry, I'm kind of starting to go all over the place, but yeah.
No problem. Okay. So, So we are running out of time. Is there anything else you would like to add or share for our listening audience?
I'm just super thankful to be here, and I'm happy to be able to have conversations about the things that my community experiences and how it was like to be in such a radical space that's what it is, and how much learning I did get to do, and how thankful I am to have been taken a part of it and to be here. So okay. Yeah.
So what particular area do you work like within Soy? Like what does your placement role entail? What is your everyday at Soy?
My everyday at Soy. Yeah. Well, every day is different for sure, because I've done Monday night drop-in, so that would have been Mondays that we would go in and do some grocery shopping. We'd make a big meal Monday nights for folks to come in.
Oh, wow.
It's usually around 40 youth that come in, and we just do, it's pretty usual that we do a check-in, and the whole purpose is to create community and create that space for folks to connect on things that we normally don't have a lot of access to in our everyday lives.
Okay. And I guess just interviewing with you, what I really like, so if I've never been to Soy ever, but I guess what I like, and I like that it gives you the vibe of, you know, a person who sort of identifies as queer, you know, they can come into a space where they're their true authentic selves. That's what I like, because I think in this world we're all looking to be somewhere where we want to belong, where we want to be a part of something. It's like a basic human need.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really like that Soy fulfills that for people who may feel like, you know, they're on the fringes of what society says you have to be. Even like when you're born, they either say, okay, you're a boy, here's blue or pink.
Yep.
You're a girl, right?
We even have assigned colors out here.
We do.
Apparently.
Exactly. We have assigned colors, assigned toys, assigned clothes.
Yep.
It's a lot. So I really like that. Soy really breaks down those binary barriers and says, okay, you identify as this or this, come on in. You're human at the end of... So I guess it's just a human experience going on. It's why I'm rambling, listeners, but... It's all good. So that's all the time we have for this part of the show. Again, thank you so much, Karina, for being a part of
and just
expanding our minds on what Soy is about and what it is to sort of be a part of the LGBT community. And, you know, there are allies out there, you know, always. So thank you again for telling us about Soy and Soy Heat and the amazing things that Soy can offer to youth looking for safe spaces to, you know, express their true selves and be authentic. So stay tuned, listeners, because we have right after our panel discussion talking about sexual diversity among youth, right after this musical break.